Head to the episode details and follow the link for promotional offers from PRST affiliates like Nike, Reebok, Under Armour, Rogue Fitness, Hylete, Oakley, and several others. As always, thanks for tuning in.
What's going on, everyone? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Performance Rehab and Strength Training Podcast. Today, I sit down with mental skills coach for the Arizona Diamondbacks, Sydney Masters. Sydney talks about the psychological impact of injuries in professional baseball and her role in helping the rehab process run as smoothly as possible. If you like this episode, please follow the podcast and leave a review. You can find my content on Instagram and Twitter, where my handle is PRST_PT. You can check out my Facebook page, Performance Rehabilitation and Strength Training, and you can check out my website, agprst.weebly.com. I hope you enjoy the episode. The Performance Rehabilitation and Strength Training Podcast provides a platform for some of sports medicine's most influential individuals to collaborate. Tune in as some of the field's most well-renowned rehabilitation professionals, strength and conditioning coaches, and athletes come together to discuss the integrated world of performance physical therapy and strength and conditioning. Welcome to another episode of the Performance Rehab and Strength Training Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Jett, and today I'm sitting down with mental skills coach for the Arizona Diamondbacks, Sydney Masters. Sydney, I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. Really excited to dive into some mental side of rehab.
Before we get going and get into the mental side of injuries and the impact of rehabilitation, do you mind giving the listeners a short history about yourself?
I think this path will be similar and different with any mental skills or sports psychology professional that anybody would talk to. But with the kind of started my actual undergrad was the inspiration or the point to kind of pursue the sports psych path just due to college athletics. So I was really interested in team dynamics while I played soccer at Juniata College. And was really curious about how teams function, why they function really well, why they don't function really well, and what kind of influence coaches can have on a team. And so from there, I decided to pursue a degree in sports psychology, and at the time had no idea what a job could look like, what that possibly entailed. I just knew I was really excited about learning more of the psychology of sport. I ended up going to Ithaca College for my master's in sport and exercise science with that concentration of sports psychology. Elongated my time there. It should have probably taken me 2 years to get my master's, but as I like to do a lot of different things, I decided to do a thesis and do a practicum, sort of like internships with teams in the Ithaca area. So from there, 4 years go by, and I had applied for a internship with the Cleveland Indians in around 2017. And that was about the time that I had finished my degree. And so from there, I did a year-long, kind of season-long internship, learned so much through that experience. It was not only eye-opening, but a real kick in the pants too. And to illuminate, hey, what are some areas for growth and what are things that I actually am pretty decent at, pretty good at. With that internship that came to a close, I had a kind of two, 3 month hiatus of just trying to find what was the next thing. I had 2 years in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I was a cognitive performance coach with the students that were training, the soldier students that were training to become Green Berets, and had that experience again. Amazing, learned so much, learned more areas for growth in that. And at the beginning of 2020, I moved to Arizona as I applied for the mental skills position here and applied for it. And luckily, you know, really grateful that I had the opportunity to come out. It was a wild year. But it's been really fun and challenging too. So it's a little bit of the trajectory and journey.
So you definitely have a great backstory, and you have some experience with some different patient populations in which you worked with the sports psych side of things. So ultimately, what led you to the sport of baseball?
I mean, that's an excellent question. Right. When I think about it, baseball is probably one of the hardest mentally taxing sports. I mean, there's a variety, obviously any sport can be mentally taxing. It can be frustrating. It can present a lot of challenges. But the thing about baseball is there's so many nuances, and I'm learning every single day about, I did not play baseball, but I'm learning every single day the game within the game. And I think that's so beautiful, right? There is a game within the game, same with soccer, right? There's a game within the game. But when you think of baseball in its entirety, the line of failure, like there's so much failure, and that can be either debilitating for a player, really can be discouraging to some degree, especially if you don't know how to handle kind of the failure that you're going to face on a day to day. Or, you know, with some players, it's invigorating. They love that. They're like, oh, give me the challenge. Like, I want that. And I just believe that the population that plays baseball is so unique in the fact that they have to face adversity every single day. And they're most likely not walking away without having that feeling of, all right, okay, did I do what I wanted to do today? Great. Was it attached to numbers? Maybe not. And I don't know, the progression, the increments. And, I think from a sports psych side, I want to be challenged in a way. I think that population is challenging. It's challenging to learn a new sport. It's challenging to get the lingo right. It's challenging to do everything. You know, it's challenging to figure out what feel is, right? That's a big baseball thing. You know, what is that? But I wouldn't want to work in a place that I'm already comfortable. And I think if we're asking players to get uncomfortable and challenge their set of beliefs that they already have about how the world works and how they work as an athlete, then like, I want to get uncomfortable too. I want to learn alongside them. And I don't want to feel comfortable and complacent, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Just given my background, I was a player and I coached in professional baseball. So a lot of my guests have been involved in baseball. And the one thing that kind of sets that sport apart is it's every day. And the failure that you speak of is very common in the game. And it's easy, I don't want to say to spiral out of control, but, you know, slumps happen, things like that. It's easy to let performance from the previous day carry over into tomorrow or the next day if you let it.
That's so spot on, is that, you know, as humans, we really want to be able to walk away feeling super satisfied, super accomplished, and the expectation that nothing bad is going to happen. You know, we don't look for that, but I think that's the crazy part about baseball is like we as our human nature is we want to strive for that. But at the end of the day, you have to be okay with, you know, did you just make an incremental increase? Like, did you just try to make an adjustment and it worked, or maybe it didn't work, or just sticking through a routine, even though it doesn't, you have the urge to change, you know, in that moment too. So yeah, I think that's spot on. You know, it's the every piece is so hard.
I say as an outsider, if you're watching ESPN and you see maybe like on the bottom on the ticker or the broadcasters talking about it, whoever, whatever player will undergo Tommy John surgery, they're out X amount of months, or hamstring strain out 2 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever the case may be. And as a fan or as an outsider, that's all you kind of know. You just think, oh, well, he's going to be on the shelf for a little bit. But there's so much more behind closed doors that goes into an injury. So in your role as a mental skills coach with a professional organization, what are some things that you try and employ with those players to kind of guide that process from a mental standpoint to help, you know, kind of make things as smooth as possible and allow that athlete to recover, you know, and restore their function both physically and mentally?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there's a lot, like you said, there's a lot of behind the scenes sort of action that happens, not only from a mental skills side, but from even our medical team, right? And I think number one, above all, you know, we work really collaboratively with our medical team. From the rehab side, we try to be on the same page, integrated in that way. So there's a linear message going out to the athlete. Because at the end of the day, you don't want a lot of mixed messages, especially in a very confusing time. And so one, let's make sure everyone's on the same page. And I view my role as sometimes as a connector or a linker per se between the athlete and the medical team. So we always try to highly encourage players to bring up concerns or questions or anything that we get from our side. And, you know, we work within the guise of confidentiality. And so like any conversation we have with players, we let them know, hey, this is going to stay between us. But at the same time, if we think that there's going to be something valuable that the team can hear, we're going to encourage them to talk about that or say, how can we facilitate this conversation? So communication is really important. From the other side is being there. A mental skills coach, for me, it's so important that we're just around, because proximity is huge. You never know when that moment comes where a guy is going to feel as though they're comfortable to talk about what's happening to them. You know, I think a lot of the time we can all assume that, you know, players could be closed off no matter what degree or level of maturity or whatever that may be. Sometimes you just need to be there to process things with them and listen. And so I would say a lot of my role within the Tommy John rehab is being available for that one moment that they want to talk about how they feel about the surgery, how they feel about when it happened, what they feel about moving forward with the long amount of months that are occurring. So yeah, I think that's number one is always, you know, we're not trying to do anything. We're just trying to listen in the beginning, because we're still continuously building a relationship with guys. You don't think if we don't have a relationship with them, it's going to be really hard for them to want to hear anything that we have to say or suggestions or, you know, advice, guidance, whatever that looks like. So we're consistently using the time that we have to build relationships. With all of that, you know, through that whole year, through the 14 months, 12 months, whatever that line is, we'll still be processing it, because there's different phases of injury, right? There's the onset of the injury, the rehab, and then the returning to play. And as you move through those sections of rehab, new things pop up. There's more doubt, there's more apprehension, there's maybe lack of trust, there's motivation, right? Like rehab in Arizona is hot. It is not fun to be out there when it's 120 degrees, but how can we maintain motivation and drive throughout that time so that players aren't just surviving through this time, but they're thriving? And so we'll talk about what are their goals. Hey, what are the goals that you have about baseball, about life? You can use 12 months of your time to do something. What do you want to do? And I think that we try to really look at them as a whole person. If some guys like, I want to learn the ukulele, I'm going to ask for a concert at the end of the 12 months, right? And so like, how are we realizing what they want to accomplish, so we can support them from a mental skill side, from a medical team side to do that? Because of, again, they're a whole person, and it's really hard to come in for 3 hours out of a day and then have X amount of numbers to just kind of watch Netflix or anything like that. Like, we want them to be able to be thriving again, like I said. So there's a roundabout, the main points that we try to do. There's a lot of different, I don't know if you want me to go into like any activities, exercises, certain things like that. But those are like the overarching umbrellas that we try to focus on, at least in the beginning.
You have your throwing program or kind of once you get out of that acute phase, there's your throwing program and you have these markers you hit before you progress to the next phase. I don't want to say always, but I'm sure a lot of times a player will have some pain and their first thought is they're automatically going to resort to, oh no, do I need Tommy John again? Or did I just disrupt the incision, whatever. I recorded a podcast with the Royals rehab coordinator, Justin Hahn. He explained this exact thing. And he said, you know, a lot of his role is just kind of explaining to that player and educating, you know, this is normal, you're going to be fine. So how much of your role, like, are you doing that during the process? And then you can get into some specific activities or exercises if you would like to.
Yeah. I think that's, you know, just like the rehab coordinators on our end, they do a really great job of talking guys through that process, just like the other podcasts we were talking about. So if they get wind of that, I think they're pretty good at addressing it head on. And I think if anything, you know, we try to echo those messages a lot. Yeah, like there's a difference between pain and soreness. right? If your body has not made the motion that it's about to make in a really long time, it's probably going to be a little bit sore. And I think, we work in tandem where if that's an issue and the medical team sees that as an issue, how can we help, come in and just support some of the language, some of the content that we're talking about? I always say that it's really great to get curious during this time, right? The curiosity piece of the body, because if you're not curious about what's happening within the body, then you're going to probably expect yourself to feel the way that you did feel. And so if anybody going through an injury, if we have the expectations of, hey, I'm looking for this feeling that I had, what makes it really hard to be able to focus on like what is going to occur, right? If we get hung up on the past, it's difficult to kind of re-engage with what the body is going through or what the body is going to explore next, I guess, right? Like, yeah, the sense of exploration and curiosity after any injury is enormous for me, at least from a mental skill side, I think, because your body's changed, right? It's maybe not like structurally or like maybe not immensely, like there hasn't been immense trauma, but like there's a surgery, you have a tendon that turned into a ligament, right? Like there's your body has kind of shifted a little bit. So how can you just be curious about it?
You're exactly right, because an injury, and especially an injury that requires an operation, it's a sudden change, it's an undesirable change, and the athlete is immediately changed, kind of like you mentioned. They may restore function, and they may be able to perform at the pre-injury level, and that's what we hope as sports medicine and mental health practitioners, but it's not always the case, and it's our job to, try and ensure that they get there. So I can see where they feel like their identity has been kind of taken. How often do you see, whenever this happens, just somebody's personality changes, or it really takes a toll on them?
I don't think that's out of the question, right? I don't think that there isn't or couldn't be a slight change in perception of the injury, or you can kind of go through different pathways of thought, right? Like you can be a defeatist kind of approach, like, oh, woe is me. Like, why did this happen? And no, it's not to say that you shouldn't reflect and you shouldn't try to gain perspective, but I think it's the fact of getting stuck on the why. I will always encourage guys to have that space to think about what just happened, feel the feelings, like feel all of your emotions. It's okay. I would much rather you have that than just hold everything in. And I'm not talking like bawling, crying or like anything like that. Like it's just, hey, like be angry if you want to be angry, like be upset, be frustrated, be sad, be all the things, because you are going through something that nobody ever should or wants to go through, but it's happening. So, one thing that perks my ear up is if guys get stuck on an emotion, if they get stuck or hooked on feeling the woe, the frustration or the anger, there's a certain amount of time given per person that depending on like how well you know that person, that you just want to be mindful of, hey, how long has he kind of been in this mindset? Or you'll always hear the, I'm ready to do, this is a random thing, but you'll be like, oh yeah, I'm ready to like dive into rehab or like da 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 da, and you'll hear a but. And it'll be a, but like, I'm still pissed that this happened. I don't know if you can swear. I'm sorry.
You go ahead. Let it rip. Yeah, you're fine.
but it's like, damn, like I'm pissed about this.
Yeah.
And so if there's a pattern of the da da da, but I'm still like feeling this feeling, that's when I kind of want to dive in a little bit deeper and be like, hey, is it going to be helpful for you to kind of come to rehab upset every day? Not saying that you got to be super positive and everything is rainbows and butterflies, but at the end of the day, there are just certain things that will pique my ears when it comes to that rehab process. And again, mostly when they get hooked on a thought or a feeling with whatever that is. The identity shift can definitely happen, but I almost think that sometimes the identity shift can happen when they return to play, where a new, like you have to kind of learn how to either throw a little bit like differently or things are feeling a little bit different. And I think again, it goes back to it. Hey, are we hooked on what you were and what the type of pitcher that you felt like you were now? Or is this slight change in arm action or this slight change in delivery or whatever it is? Or it's okay if it's a little bit different because you've had, you know, surgery. And so I think there becomes the shift of potentially just a new comfortability with who they are as a pitcher now. So I think there, yes, there can be an identity shift in the beginning, but I almost would be curious more so on the backside of that and when they return to play.
That's interesting, you know, because it's hard enough to perform when everything's fine, when you're not injured and you're at 100%. It's hard enough to perform every day at your highest level. The injury and everything that comes along with that now, it automatically changes everything. And so, you know, I'm curious, whenever you are posed with a challenging case where a guy's just having trouble getting over that hump, whether he's cleared to play or maybe he's in the rehab process and just kind of hit a road bump, you know, like at that point, what are some things that you do to kind of just try and help him get over that hump?
You know, you'd be surprised how often, you know, that isn't solved by us, right? Like, I think a lot of people think as though, you know, oh, mental skills coaches, they're going to come in and save the day. No. Like we've got phenomenal rehab coaches that have been through this process. You know, we've got the medical team that has seen a lot of like big league guys be successful and like see all of those experiences. And to be honest, I think, again, our biggest thing would be connecting those experiences and saying, hey, you know, this guy had some trouble getting back to, you know, his pre-injury, you know, performance level. Why don't you talk to this major league guy? Or why don't you talk to, you know, an older player or someone that they respect? And I think because there's such a brotherhood within baseball, again, they may not, you know, I'm never going to take offense to that. They may not listen to the things that I'm saying, but can I connect them with somebody that they respect that has been through this before? Because sometimes like guys are so good at saying their experience and guys just connect with that obviously a lot better. So I think one is always trying to connect our players and coaches with guys that have had similar issues. Two, I think even beyond that, so let's just say like beyond just trying to connect, you know, what is the struggle? I would dive a little deeper and be like, hey, is it, you know, are you sore? Is it pain? You know, anytime you feel like a tinge or a twang, is that the thing that's holding you back? Is it the trust factor? Do you not trust your arm? Do you not trust the ability to like let it rip, you know? And I think some of that can be the language that we as mental skills coaches use. You know, again, like I'll use the words, hey, be curious about this. Like, let's explore that. And as all practitioners, our words are really powerful because they kind of infiltrate the mind a little bit. And then you'll hear guys start to use the same language, which is good. So I really watch what I try to say to guys within that experience. But again, we do a lot of, visualization. I think visualization is really helpful when it comes to either pain management or just trying to see how you want the body to move or how do you want to feel walking out of this bullpen? Just in the preparation factor, looking at and talking through, you know, obviously we're talking with the players as we create these recordings and do this work with them. But it's like, hey, what are the things that stick out? Like, what are the points or what are the situations that you run up and you have a little bit of difficulty? You know, is it on the curveball, you know, and like, if you're having difficulty, like feeling good about that specific pitch, well, let's create something that can help you mentally prepare and feel comfortable with executing that pitch, seeing yourself execute that pitch in a bullpen as you work to get back or a sim. Maybe it's in it. You got me on a rant. Maybe it's on a sim game, right? Like maybe it is the apprehension of going back into game, you know, that could be it too, as though, if the injury occurred when a game happened, you know, there can be a little bit of, I would never say like PTSD, but like just remembrance or a reminder of, oh, this is the situation that occurred. Same thing, like if you get an ACL surgery for soccer, right? The first cut that you make or like the first tackle you go in, there's a little bit of apprehension in that just because it's the same situation that unfortunately an injury occurred. So yeah, visualization is huge for that. We do a lot of mindfulness. I think, again, allowing yourself to tune into the thoughts that are occurring is really important. So we really use mindfulness as a way to listen to your inner dialogue. Sometimes when guys are returning to throw or returning to play, the mind can get in the way, right? Like, what are you focusing on? Are you focusing on what you're thinking about? Or are you just actually focusing on the execution on the pitch? Are you focused on like who's watching you right now? And so I think we do a lot of investigative work by like having those conversations with players. Like, what is the issue that might be the tension point for you kind of trying to get back to the point? Is it the fear that you may never reach what you were, right? And what a burden to carry with somebody. That fear is so heavy sometimes when that's all your mind is preoccupied about is, well, what if I don't? What if I can't? You know, I should be able to, but what about, what if it doesn't happen? And so, yeah, there can be a lot, to be honest. Like, there can be a variety of things that can occur. But it's our due diligence to investigate that and take the time and have those conversations with guys to figure it out.
I want to give a quick shout out to my sponsors, Muscle Up Protein Bars and Gym Aware Training Equipment. Head to the show details and follow the links to receive your discount on all Muscle Up and Gym Aware products. As always, thanks for listening.
Yeah, it's very interesting to me because this is definitely outside of my wheelhouse. But I do know that just as a former player, it was always look good, feel good, play good. And it was a mental thing more than anything. Like, it didn't matter what I looked like, you know what I'm saying? But if I felt like I looked good, and I felt good, I just knew I was going to play good. Or I just know that the mental side of the game, and really with any sport, just plays such a big role. And, you know, mental skills, at least I know in baseball and sports psych in general, it's just gaining more popularity, and it's more and more of a resource for athletes. You know, when I was coming through, and that was only maybe 10 years ago or so, a little bit more than 10 years, there was none of this, like zero, right? And so it's gained a lot of traction since. So it's very interesting to me. And a lot of the players, you know, having you as a resource, I don't think they understand how fortunate they are. But I kind of wanted to go a little bit more into depth of the what you said about like, well, what if, or what if I can't get over the hump? And just the chronic impact of that. What if I never got injured? Where would I be right now? Or what if this pain never goes away? Or, you know, what I'm saying? That what if component, what are the chronic effects of that? That can be a career ender, essentially, if a guy just can't get over that hump of getting past that what if component. Can you go into that a little bit?
Yeah. So even the language of what if, or what if I never had this injury, you know, thinking back into the past a little bit and then projecting into the future, which leaves out the present. I think if you ask any mental performance coach or mental skills coach, they would agree that, you know, peak performance happens in the present moment. It happens right here, right now, in this moment, and nothing else really matters. So I would say like the chronic, I love how you use chronic, like the chronic impact of that is that you're perpetually chasing something that doesn't exist, right? It truly doesn't exist, especially if it's in the future. I know there's a lot of people that will be like, oh, you can manifest it. You can do this, you can do that. It's like, yes, but think the positive thoughts. I want you to think the positive thoughts, but you need to take action in the moment. And that's where it happens, like in the present. And so like your future manifestations or your positive thoughts in the future will not occur if you are not taking adequate action right here in this moment right now. And so again, I would highly doubt that, or I would be apprehensive if a player is like, well, if I keep thinking of the future, like I'm definitely performing the best that I can now. I would say, I bet you could perform even better if you were actually in this moment performing, you know, with the actions, with the movements. You know, you hear it all the time. Like, especially with pitchers in baseball, it's like, all right, flush it, next pitch, right? Like, pitch the pitch now. Like, don't think about the guy that's already on base because you can't do anything about that. You know, pitch to the guy that's in front of you. And so all of these kind of sentiments are directing guys, or the purpose behind them is directing their focus to the present moment. And same thing with rehab. So roundabout, same thing with rehab. If we are thinking about the game, like if you are thinking 6 months down the line, it can weigh on somebody. Because what if there are setbacks? You know, if you are hoping that this X date, I will be able to throw again, and there are setbacks along your way, well, you are no longer at that set date. And it becomes a little bit more daunting. It becomes a little bit, you get let down, right? Your expectations are not met because your expectations did not meet reality. So again, like I really encourage, and I think our ATs do a great job of helping rehab guys stay in the moment. They give them their plan the day of, or maybe a week out, and they keep it pretty simple and pretty basic. Accomplish what you can accomplish right now today, because that's the only thing that matters. You will get back to throwing. You will get back to, lifting, but it's not going to happen today. So I think a lot of our job is to keep them in the present moment, in this day, in this hour, in this minute with everything.
I love what you said. Take adequate action now. That's spot on. And it's like kind of setting those short-term goals, right? Instead of looking at the big picture. If you have a 12-month road ahead of you and all you focus on is 12 months from now, well, yeah, it's going to feel like a daunting task.
Yeah. Nobody likes to get let down, right? Like, I'm sure this happened to so many people this year, right? Like, hey, you had a trip planned, but then travel restrictions came and you could no longer do it. And how just kind of like, oof, like you just feel that like, damn, like sucks. Because we love, as humans, we love looking forward to things. And I think that's important. And I would never say, like, don't look forward to things. But, every day looking forward to something or planning something new, especially in the rehab side, can be a little bit difficult, especially when it's super long. But hey, like, you're a couple months out from throwing, hell yeah, like, think about that. Like, get excited because you are closer. But it's the constant reminder that everything that you do day after day after day is getting you one day closer to getting back to the thing that you love doing. And I think that's so important that we constantly remind the guys that's what's helpful in these moments sometimes.
Big picture, right? Big picture and small victories. Yes, you have an injury, but are you still with the organization? Yep. Are you able to control your outcome? Are you here right now, working to get back to where you were? Yes. So yeah. Go to work, right? Easier said than done, obviously. But whenever you break it down to that level and take that, like the small victory approach, kind of what it sounds like.
Yeah, again, like you're going to have, that just reminded me, like you're going to have moments where it's like, if you are not mentally present, then your workout is lacking. Mm-hmm. Like think about like even weightlifting, like lifting in general, practice in general. Like if you're thinking about, we can see this across any sport. Like if you're excited about something that's after practice, like, oh, well, like all hell's breaking loose. Like your focus, it's very hard for people to be like focused in the moment when they're excited about something to come. Right. And so I think that at some point, like, practice in that moment or your exercises in that moment can slightly suffer when you're not actually thinking about the movements that you're doing or why you're doing these things to begin with. I'm not saying we have to have like super laser focus all the time, especially in rehab. But I think to some degree, focus is really important when it comes to getting the most out of the movements that you do.
Definitely. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. And I stress that as a coach, I stress that to my guys all the time. We'll just use a bullpen session, for example. And I was not a field coach. I'd never cross that line. But, a bullpen day, I don't want to say it's an off day, but, for a starter, your bullpen day, like you're not playing that day, right? You're not starting, obviously. That's usually your third day off or whatever. But if you're trying to get better and you just kind of, you're not really actually focusing on hitting your spot, working on your release point, this or that, whatever it is, what did that session do for you? nothing, right? Same concept with kind of what you're saying, you know, be in the moment and taking the adequate action. Everything has to have a purpose. At least that's how I see it, right? If you want to get better or you want to improve, hone your craft, make gains in rehab, whatever it is, you have to perform with a purpose. So I really think that's like kind of the underlying message. And as a coach or as a clinician, you're around them more than the field coaches, more than a man. You're around them so much. You get to know them, you build relationships with them. And so having these talks, it's a part of the job, and it's a crucial part of the job to be able to make an impact in that athlete's life, not only on the training table, but also you can see something's off and you can give them some type of education or guidance. I mean, that's part of the job. You know what I'm saying? Even though I'm a PT, that's much more in your world, but there are times where I've had to have some of these talks, and it all comes down to doing what's best for the athlete. Right. So,
yeah. And I think that like medical teams, ATs, strength and conditioning, PTs, anybody that has constant contact with players, you know, it is important for everyone to kind of observe, you know, how that guy is acting or behaving. And it's not that you've got to like immediately do something about it, but right, it's just taking like mental notes, because once a pattern is observed, well, then you've got information to bring to the table and say, hey man, like you've been dogging it the past couple of days, what's been going on? And being curious. And again, like saying, it's just being curious and asking as from a human level, like, you got like, is home good? You know, how's your wife? How's your girlfriend? How's like, you know, how's the family? You know, and I think that from practitioners in general in the medical field, like there's so much to be gained from that, because it just shows that you care about them as a person, not about the work that you guys are doing on the table or, you know, in the rehab side of things. And you're going to get more out of them about where their mental state is, and if they're even able to kind of put their mind on the exercises. Because sometimes, you know, they've got stuff going on at home that's much more important than focusing on every ounce of rehab. And that's, I think it's the balance of knowing when to let the reins go and just say, hey man, just like get through today. And like, how can we support you and do what you got to do at home, you know, or do what you got to do like with your car or whatever that looks like, you know, and just having some kind of grace with it too, from all sides, you know, coaches, us, you know, everybody.
It's a great point. These guys have lives outside of the baseball field, and that gets lost in the shuffle a lot of times. You know, you have your superstars, Aaron Judge, Mike Trout, Max Scherzer. Anybody that's a baseball fan knows who those guys are. They're not going anywhere. They are top of the top. The majority of the players are, you know, Triple A, then they get called up, then they get sent back down, then they get traded, then they get released. Then, you know what I'm saying? It's just up and down, relocating, and their families are going with them maybe. And just that alone, I'm sure, takes a toll mentally. Right. And, you know, so I think it's just important to kind of get that out there, is these guys have lives outside of baseball. And, you know, if they are, I guess the term is a journeyman, there's just a lot that goes into that type of lifestyle. And then when you throw family life on top of it, then you throw an injury on top of it. You know, let's say that they've been in the minor leagues for 6-7 years. They get called up, then they get injured. As soon as they get called up, they get sent back down. It's just a whole thing. Right. And it's, so whenever, I mean, sometimes you see those success stories, guys that have played 12 years in the minors, played independent ball, went to Tokyo and played, and now they're in the big leagues. And they, like, I just love those stories, because I've seen some of those guys, right? And you know how much that they just pour their heart and their life into the game. It's sometimes it goes unnoticed, but those guys deserve a lot of credit.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like it's not an easy sport to play. I mean, like physically it's again, like I'm not a baseball connoisseur, but even just the appreciation of like, wow, you can throw a ball 95 miles per hour and put it exactly where you want it to go. And I can't even play catch maybe some days, you know, like that's phenomenal. And it's so impressive. And so when you think about the athletic feats that some of these guys go through or have, the dedication, the commitment, there's no doubt that they all have that, and this, just the belief in themselves to make it whatever level they're at, and then be consistent with it. It's phenomenal. And so even that, knowing all of that, it's like, how can you bring those qualities into rehab? You know, how can you stay committed to the process in rehab? How can you believe that everything, or how can you bring that self-belief that you will make it? You know, and I think a lot of what we do too is, because we've gotten to know these guys as they are in the affiliates and throughout just even conversation, we know them as players and we know what they think of themselves and how they play. And so we can leverage that within rehab and say, hey, like, do you remember that one time that you were tried to get out of that inning and it was really tough? Or do you remember that one time we talked about da da da? And just leveraging those qualities and characteristics that they see in themselves and bring it into rehab and highlight that and reinforce that, where it's like, your qualities as a player don't disappear when you get injured. You still have that resilience. Mm-hmm. We still have that ability to work through adversity. It just looks different, right? It just is different now, but you still have it.
That's a great point to highlight. You're not changing as a person. Your physical capability may have changed for now, but you are still the same player that was drafted whenever, right? And I keep going back to take adequate action now, like that quote you said, that's money. I mean, I couldn't, I think if this episode highlights anything, that's it. Control what you can control right now based off the hand you've been dealt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wondering why or, you know, looking towards the future, anything, it's not really going to do anything for you now, right? And I think that quote hits the nail on the head for everything we talked about. But Sydney, this was an absolutely awesome conversation. It was cool for me to kind of dive into your world again. It's not in my wheelhouse, but the game of baseball is, and just kind of hearing a little bit about what you, you know, what you had to say about your role with players, you know, on the mental side of things in regards to rehab and your position with the Diamondbacks in professional baseball. It was definitely interesting to get your take on some things. So is there anything else that you'd like to add on here? Maybe any education resources or anything that we didn't touch on you may want to throw out there?
Oh man. I mean, one, thanks for having me on. It's always fun to talk about this stuff. I think that, this field is relatively new, but when you have people in your organization, leverage them, right. That do mental skills or whatever that is, definitely like seek that out, seek other resources out. Even, you know, there's some good people on Twitter and stuff that you could definitely reach out to. I mean, I think there's actually more academic resources from the sport injury side, which aren't very super fun to read, but there's one book that I think could be helpful, at least for like coaches or just people getting into this or getting into kind of the mental side or what can kind of happen or how you can influence the mental side. And it's called Rebound. And I think it's Carrie Cheadle that was the author of that. So maybe that would be a good place to start. But honestly, there's so many good resources that if you see anybody from a academic standpoint, reach out to them, right? Like, so there's like Les Podlog at University of Utah, Ross Wadey over in the UK. Like, there's so many cool people that are doing research in this area that if you are interested in expanding on that, look up those guys from an academic standpoint for sure. Or, you know, I'll talk about this all day. It's super fun.
Awesome. Well, again, Sydney, I thank you for your time. This was a great conversation and thank you for coming on. It was awesome.
Yeah, thanks so much. Really appreciate it, Alex.
Podcasting is gaining more traction each day. And the beauty is anyone can do it and it will cost you next to nothing to start your own show. I've gotten the opportunity to speak with individuals around the world that share my same passion for sports performance. And I've been able to share my message globally. Without my show, none of those opportunities are possible. Buzzsprout is the hosting website I use to launch my show. With Buzzsprout, you'll get a website that you can link your social media accounts to promote your episodes. You can track your show's stats. They list your show in all major podcast directories like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. And most importantly for me is anytime I've had an issue or simply needed help figuring something out on their site, I reached out to them and they've always gotten back to me that same day to help me resolve the issue. So if you're thinking about starting your own show, I highly recommend using Buzzsprout as your hosting website. If you'd like to learn more, follow the link in the show details or reach out to me directly and I'd be happy to help. Thanks for tuning into this episode of the PRST Podcast. If you liked what you heard, please give the podcast a follow and leave a review. You can also find my content on Instagram and Twitter, where my handle is PRST_PT. And you can also check out my website, agprst.weebly.com. Thanks for tuning in.